This is Herb Montgomery, Director of Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free, even our seminars that we do in various venues. So if you'd like to help us keep doing what we do, I'll tell you how you can do that at the end of this podcast. For now, it's our hope that you will just simply enjoy this podcast as our gift to you. This is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Our title this week is Transformative Justice Enough? Our feature text is similar to the one we looked at last week. It's one of the verses within the passages we looked at. It's Mark 2, verse 17, where Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." This week, we're going to continue exploring the passage that we looked at last week. Last week, we said that the inclusive table of Jesus made room for tax collectors and sinners, and indicted the religious leaders who looked down on both. There's something else taking place in this passage, though, as well, that I want to focus on this week. Jesus perceived himself as a liberating physician. And if you're just tuning in this week, I want you to go back to last week's podcast and give that a listen. But Jesus saw himself as one who came not to condemn, but to heal. His focus was on transformation and not on punishment. He wasn't there to punish the tax collectors and sinners. In other words, he had come for the purpose of transformation. Tax collectors and sinners were being transformed, and we have to remember this. In Luke 19, 1 through 9 is the story of one tax collector in specific by the name of Zacchaeus. But some of the people, for whatever reason, they wanted to see these tax collectors and these sinners, they wanted to see them suffer some kind of chastisement for violating the Torah's purity laws or for being, as a tax collector, unfaithful to the political interests of the Jewish people and collaborating with those Roman enemies. And I also want to be clear, the tax collectors and sinners, they were not changing in the ways that the scribes and the Pharisees wanted them to change. But they were changing. They were abandoning their participation in the systemic oppression of the poor, and they were embracing Jesus' teachings on redistribution of their riches to those they had previously robbed. And there are two things to consider. First, the tax collectors and sinners, the changes that they were going through, it didn't match the changes that the scribes and the Pharisees were prescribing. Those who choose to follow the teachings of Jesus will be changed. But those changes may not look anything like the changes that religious onlookers would expect. And this is not an anything goes if you turn to Jesus approach, that what you do doesn't matter. This is the reality that the changes that happen when we decide to follow the teachings of Jesus, they rarely reflect the values of the religions that support and empower the status quo. The tax collectors and sinners who ate with Jesus were embracing Jesus' bias towards the poor, but not necessarily the purity laws that the scribes and the Pharisees had passionately defended. And we have no indication that they were being indoctrinated into the mainstream definition of the Romans as their enemy either. So today, the same issue is true. When someone turns to Jesus' teachings, they may not change in all the ways that others think they need to. Change, though, does occur. The Jesus story offers transformation and a change in values. And it's this values change that threatens those onlookers. And let me explain. Just recently, I was accused of preaching a gospel that doesn't produce change in the lives of those who embrace it. Someone was saying that I preach a gospel that tells people they can be saved in their sins. And nothing could be further than the truth. What this claim misses is that radical change is, in fact, occurring. It's just not the changes that some of the critics are prescribing. Jesus's gospel liberates us from both personal and systemic sin. And yet what you define as sin and what Jesus defines as sin may be radically different. We can miss ways that people are changing right before our eyes because we don't have Jesus's tailor-made plan of change for those people. Some status quo supporting religions define sin as things that aren't really sin. They're just simply the things that the status quo doesn't want to change, or they're things that their activities that the status quo wants to suppress to maintain their societal position. So therefore, they call it sin or evil. And the personal and systemic transformation that Jesus' teachings call for is transformation that will ultimately turn the status quo on its head. And secondly, this week, Jesus is much more concerned with transformation than with chastisement. The stories of the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah told of the ancient judges who guided the Hebrews before the days of the kings. And these judges were the people's liberators. They were not their punishers. In the books of the Old Testament prophets, justice is primarily restorative and transformative. And they do speak of charity, but charity, again, only helps with the immediate needs of those at the bottom of our societies. When justice works a personal and systemic transformation, it works at the root of the system itself, and it produces no more societal tops or bottoms. It produces equity. And it may always be important to pull people out of the water who are drowning, as we said. Charity is pulling people out of the water. Justice is going up and finding out who's throwing them in the water to begin with. So again, it may always be important to pull people out of the water who are drowning. But at some point, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. taught us, somebody has to ask the question, who keeps throwing these people in the water? When people benefit from the status quo, their gospel tends to define justice as punishment or retribution. These definitions therefore work to preserve the status quo and the benefits that some can draw from it. And by contrast, Jesus' teachings focus on justice transforming the status quo rather than on punishing those who are violating the status quo. In other words, justice for the status quo's gospel, justice is defined as punishment for breaking society's rules. Where Jesus' justice is transformative, it comes through and it changes the entire system from the ground up. So listen to Jesus as he says this next phrase. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not retaliate against an evildoer. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's in Matthew 5, 38 through 39 and verses 43 through 44. Both the Old Testament prophets and Jesus taught a justice that invites transformation, not mere penal chastisement. The cheek defiance and enemy love that Jesus taught affirmed those who were being violated, and it also sought creative ways to transform those that were violating them. I want you to go back and check out the presentation, The Way of Enemy Love, in our series entitled The Jesus Dialogue on our website. You can find that in our audio presentation library. But Jesus' enemy love was not in the least bit passive. It was nonviolent, and it lovingly confronted for the sake of transforming those at the helm of our harmful status quo. It lovingly confronted them in an effort to wake them up. The question I want to ask today is transformation enough? This question is for those who have already been hurt. Is it enough for those who have wronged you to be radically transformed? Or do you need them to suffer something punitive as well? Can transformation take the place of retribution? Or is retribution necessary even when transformation has taken place? In my studies over the last 5 years, I've learned that there are two qualities of punishment. And for more on this, I want you to check out in that same series, The Jesus Dialogue, check out the presentation, Do I Have to Believe in Hell? One kind of punishment is transformative. It disciplines for the purpose of awakening and changing those who have hurt others. A second type of punishment is not concerned with transformation. It only seeks to satisfy the claims in the heart of the one who was hurt that says the guilty party needs to suffer something. If the heart of the universe is anything like the heart that we see in the Jesus story and the teachings of Jesus, and I believe it is, then it is primarily concerned concerned with transformation, not penal, retributive punishment. And this insight should challenge all of us, regardless of where we sit in the scenarios of pain, whether we've been the ones that have hurt someone else or we've been the ones hurt by someone else. A statement that is frequently attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, an eye for an eye will leave everyone blind. Heart group application this week, when I consider the intrinsic value of the shared table that we talked about last week, and we've been talking about for a few weeks now, the transformation of those who share the table is, for me, its greatest quality. And as I share in this month's featured presentation, I want to encourage you to go to Renewed Heart Ministries and check out the featured presentation entitled A New World in the Shape of a Shared Table. But another indispensable quality of the shared table is the room that it makes for those around the table who are unlike us. As we listen to each voice around the table and we share their stories and we listen to them share their experiences, we're challenged to see the world through a different lens than our own. And we start out on a beautiful journey of integrating these diverse experiences into a meaningful and coherent whole. We're each called to choose and work hard for creating a safer, more compassionate world for us all. So this week, number one, sit down with your heart group and list the similarities and the differences that exist among you as a group, among your group. Number two, discuss together the differences that you feel are missing within your group and what those differences would create if they were present. And also discuss active ways that you could enlarge your group to include and embrace those differences. And then number three, select one of those ways to put into practice during the following week. Our differences have the potential to scare us, because when we come together and there are differences around the table, all of us walk away from the table different than when we arrived. All of us do. But this is just the point of coming together. It's transformation. When we come to a table like the one that Jesus has set, if we will only listen to each other, every one of us gets up a different person. And it's truly a beautiful journey. Again, many voices, one new world, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening this week. I'll see you next week. Thank you once again for listening to this podcast. As I said earlier, Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free. We don't make any money off of our seminars that we do in various local venues, and all of our resources are provided for free online. I have a hard time philosophically charging people money for that which I think Jesus gave to humanity for free. And so we take Jesus' words very seriously. Freely you've received, freely give. Even anything that we receive above our annual budget, we don't keep. We like to pass that on to other charities who are making a difference with the poor in this world. So if you'd like to support Renewed Heart Ministries and the work that we're doing in helping others encounter Jesus, please go to renewedheartministries.com. You can either you can go to renewedheartministries.com/donate, or if you go to just the website, you can click in the upper right the link there that says donate. You can make a one-time gift or become one of our monthly contributors. Every little bit helps. And for those of you who are already supporting us, with all of our hearts, we want to take this opportunity to say thank you. You're the one that's enabling us to share Jesus far and wide all around the globe. Thank you to each one of you for listening once again. As we like to say here at Renewed Heart Ministries, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. Thank each one of you so much.